But anyway, hallelujah. Well, I want to look at today. We've come through the holiday time. We've come through the birth of Christ. We know the story. It was well portrayed last week. God bless those children and Terry and Doug and Wayne and Julie and Heather and Dan and all the kids. You know, just a phenomenal thing. I think Terry had shared, I think on Tuesday night Zoom, that she'd heard from some that said they hadn't, it's been a long time since they've seen kids do like that type of a pageant or just that whole story or just that, it was very simple but very forthtelling of what the story was all about. And a lot of good visitors last week, and pray that they got their hearts touched by that of God and a good time of fellowship afterwards. And so we've come through all of that, and here we've had Christmas, and today is the day after. And it kind of lines up if we begin, and we had some of this back in the Sunday school hour where I showed the video from the Christmas experience. The last DVD part of that was speaking of that of the wise men and how they came into the picture. Because right now, if you notice up on the manger, we've got those guys already there. And in reality, they really shouldn't be there, you know. And it's something that has always developed with the Christmas story and the Bethlehem and the birth, and that's okay, you know. It fits that narrative, and nothing else. It's just like a snapshot of what took place with the birth of Christ, you know. Because with those wise men and what they brought forth and how they came into the picture, it was all foretold anyway in Daniel and Isaiah and all these things, so the prophecies were being fulfilled. But, when I first, really a few years back, you know, and got into that, and I was kind of like, really? You know, I've been sold a bill of goods. I set up my manger with all the wise men. Because if we didn't have those three in there, it would be a lot more room. That's what I would say. You know, there would be a reason for that. Yeah, oh my gosh. But it doesn't take away from the whole story at all. But it gives us an understanding of how things developed and worked through God's timing. And what the magi, the astrologers, the wise men, whatever you want to call them, there's several thoughts and names that they would be phrased as in the scriptures. We come to know them as the wise men when we look at the, you know, and they're only mentioned where? In Matthew, in chapter 2. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem. And it was cute in the video back there because it showed these guys, the wise men, these astrologers and all the magi, encamped many miles away from where they were going to go. And they were discussing some things, and we've got to go. We saw the star. We're going to be guided by the star. And because here again, being astrologers, being wise men, being they foretold, they knew all these things happening by looking at Daniel and Isaiah and the old scriptures. And so they studied that. They studied the heavens. They studied the lights and the stars and what was all coming about. And to think that they traveled, I have read the mileage anywhere from like 800 miles to over 1,000 and some odd miles they traveled. On foot. Well, they were riding the camels. Their helpers were walking. I thought that was kind of interesting, you know. I don't know, guys that are hauling the camel and walking that far. And also, it wasn't just three wise men, because we would tend to believe, and I don't know if I might have some of this in my notes here, and I'm just kind of rolling here now with it. But we would come to understand, too, that, of course, the gifts that they were bearing, gold, frankincense, and myrrh, there were value to that, especially the gold, right? Gold coins. And so they're going 1,000 miles. I went this last week, and I went to my maps thing on Google and said, okay, I live here in Janesville, and I'm going to walk to Orlando. That was like over 1,000 miles, you know. It's like, no way, because there's nothing really down in Disney World that I really want to go to anyway, you know. But just using it as perspective of the distance, you know, 1,000, say if it was 1,000. And the number of days, because you can hit that little button on that map and go, I want to drive, I want to fly, I want to walk, I want to bicycle, you know. And just by walking, I think it was like 24 days, 25, 28 days or something like that. That seems like, I don't even think I can make it in that, to tell you the truth. You know, I think that's like, I would do that for about the first half a block, and then I go, time to rest, you know. So what this is, as we begin to look at this perspective, there was a lot taking place, and it was of great distance. that God had touched and had called upon for this birth of the Savior, Jesus. You know, we look at it as poor Mary, you know, being told, and boy, that's like, ooh, okay, you know, the chosen one, and Joseph, having explained that to Joseph, and he was going to put her away and things of that nature, and they got together, and it came about because it was God's plan anyway, right? So as this entourage is traveling, and they're carrying expensive gifts, we've got to believe. So what you begin to read is, now it doesn't show there, but when we understand if you're going to go on a journey, how many here pack a lunch? So these wise men, the three wise magi, they had some support. They had a support group go with them that carried their substances of eating and food and what they're going to need, as well as the values, the valued items. And I was reading and talking to somebody, and they were also saying that it could be that there was a number of even like a garrison to protect them from highway bandits and robbers. Because you could imagine these guys going through the desert, they come through some bad areas, you know, they're going to be attacked and their goods taken. So they probably had some protection as well. So it's a pretty good entourage of these three wise men going with a people, a group behind them, transversing these miles. It's not as simple as the shepherds, right? The shepherds were what? In their fields, minding the flock. And all of a sudden, the angel spoke, and then all of a sudden, more. And they went, you know. They were close by, but these magi are having to traverse some time. So again, we read, now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem, the wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying this, "Where is he who has been born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and we've come to worship him." Now when Herod, the king, had heard this, he was troubled, and all of Jerusalem with him. Matthew 2:3. Herod is troubled because it's like there's somebody moving in on my territory. This babe is born as a king. See, that same phraseology got him in trouble even as he was Jesus growing up and when he got into his 3 years or so of ministry, because they would talk about him as a king, or he would say a king. And the Roman empires and things like that, they're going, wait a minute, there is only one king, there's only one ruler, there's only one government, that's who? Us. And so that kind of got him into, but he was speaking of not of this world, right? And so as we look at that, there's so many things that we can play into that of Jesus, because so much of it is like, we look at it in the natural, but we have to look at it in the spiritual of what God was really speaking about, and the government will be upon his shoulders and things of that nature. But that really got Herod upset. Because it's like, ain't going to be no other king coming into this area. So they go to him. Herod's upset. There's a lot of people in Jerusalem going, ooh, what's going on? Who are they talking about here? Oh, my, my, my. Where is he who has been born? Because he said what? These wise men said to Herod, King of the Jews. For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. When Herod had heard this, he was troubled. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and the scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. And so they said to him, in Bethlehem of Judea, verse 5, for this it is written, and by that of the prophet, but you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared, he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search carefully for this young child, and when you have found him, bring back the word to me that I may come and worship him also. I want to go and I want to bow down to him. I want to go and meet him. I want to go and meet his parents. I just want to be the welcome wagon, you know. I too want to garner that, support and acknowledgement of that. Yeah, right. Liar, bring back word to me that I may come and worship him. And when they had heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them until it came and it stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. The star was pointing out that of Christ. Now, when we have come to Christ by us and our sinner's life, and we take a new life of being born again, how many here rejoice? Rejoice, rejoice. Rejoice. Oh, yes, Lord. Because we are new. A weight has been taken off of us. We feel like we're rejuvenated, you know, a new creation. They rejoiced when they saw the star. They rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child. This is Matthew 2:11. When they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and they worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented the gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. So here again, now we're taking this whole thing and we begin to read this. As remember, they entered into the house, so it wasn't the manger. There was some time that had gone on because we'll find out here as well. Now when they had departed, then being divinely warned in a dream, they should not return to Herod. I think we've got to be sensitive to when God is speaking to us. Because what's God doing to you sometimes? He's giving you warnings. He's giving you directions. He's giving you things in your life that you need to know. Because if you don't follow them, probably the other side of that is you're going to fail. You know, you're going to crash, you're going to burn, whatever the case might be. So it just goes to helps us and shows us that just like that of the wise men and everyone in that whole thing of the birth of Jesus and the shepherds and throughout his life, we've got to be listening to God. And we do that here today, don't we? Are you listening to God? We hear him by what? That of the Holy Spirit, his spirit speaking into our spirit so that I can hear him and I know him. And he knows me because it says in his word as well that, you know, my sheep know my voice and he knows us and we know him. And there's a togetherness, there's a bonding that has taken place between that of our Heavenly Father and us through that of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. And that gets into the salvation message. Then being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way. Wonder how many miles that added to the trip. Wow. Now when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, Arise, take the child, the young child, and his mother, and flee to Egypt, and stay there until I bring you word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night, and they departed for Egypt. And there they were until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Out of Egypt I called my son. Out of Egypt I called my son. For the birth, you know, and for the conception, and then for where the birth was at, and then where he was to flee to, him and his parents. All of this was lining up the prophecies of what God was speaking of all of these things, out of Bethlehem, out of Egypt, all these things. But here we go into this here. And then in verse 16, Then Herod, when he saw that he was deceived by the wise men, was exceedingly angry, and he sent forth and say this, put to death all the male children who were in Bethlehem and all of its districts, surrounding areas, from 2 years old and under. So there again, that's the other snapshot that we pick up and we read and go, okay. So there's been at least enough time passed. It wasn't just like, go look for this little babe in swaddling clothes. He's probably going to be in a manger. He is saying, I'm making a decree that any male child 2 years or less, you find them, kill them. And we're surely going to get Jesus out of that. So that helps us put this timeline of where all this is transpiring with the wise men coming into a house, bearing the gifts, and how old Jesus possibly was. Many months older, some put it at like a year and a half possibly. We don't know. There's nothing definitive. So we can only play it off by kind of like what they're speaking here. And here again, guys, it doesn't really matter. It doesn't really matter about the whole story of Jesus. But it's just here again, following a timeline of how God orchestrated these things to take place. And when we read it, we kind of read that timeline like, but God, in his timeline, it's strategically like this. And now this happens here. And some time passes, and then this happens here. Because in our lives, God might speak to us, but guess what? Generally, whenever God has spoken to me about some things, I've never seen it happen the next morning. I know you guys probably have, you know. It's like, yeah, when God speaks to me, you know, it's like, boom, it's done. It happens within that week. Most of the things I've found with God, and we read in scriptures, it takes days. weeks, months, years, decades. And some very areas of, you know, really of monumental things, it could take centuries, you know. And so I know when we are on this side of heaven and in this earth and our hours and time and days that we have, we pretty well know when God has something for us, it's got to come in the parameters of our general lively living of up to 70 or 80 or 68, whatever the case is. And so if he speaks to us somewhere back in our age of 25, you know, it may not come about until 72. No, we've got to be from 25 on up to that age, faithful, obedient, trusting, and believing that we heard from God, right? And just because it hasn't happened on my time scale or my time frame, it doesn't mean that it's not going to happen, and it will happen on God's timing. I have got to just be patient and wait, and then wait some more, and then wait. Hallelujah. So now we're looking at these gifts. The three gifts brought were gold, frankincense, and myrrh. The gold would be, because of that, would be of given to a king. A lot of things were made of gold. Crowns, jewelry, you know, necklaces, you know, everything and anything were made. Furnishings of the temples, they, you know, were made of gold. Frankincense was the gift of deity. It was used also for sacrificial offerings. It was sacred anointing oil, you know. Then we get into myrrh. It was finding that was another ingredient that was in anointing oil. It was perfume, but it was value in trade as well. But it was really used for the balm of for death. And so we find a picture of all of those things that were being brought to him. And we begin to look at that. And remember, I think, Dan, if you remember, I think in Sunday school back here, you had mentioned, like, I think it was you, that they fled to Egypt. So when they fled, how did they have income? How did they take care of themselves? Some of the things I read were saying, you know, possibly some of these gifts were brought to them to sustain them to life, so for his ministry and all, and to get them to where they're going. And to think that when those wise men came into where they were at in Bethlehem, you know, the village was just a basic village. There's no palaces. There was probably no armed guards, or, you know, it was not a gated community per se, you know. And here you guys are bringing in gold coins and gold for this babe. And so there's probably the purposes of possibly to help sustain Mary and Joseph through the years of Jesus growing and just some things like that. I don't know. Here again, it's just all speculative things that, you know, you read articles and you read some of these people that study these things and the histories and the timing and what takes place back in those days. So it was used for a lot of purposes, but I think it was probably two or three-folded purposes. I think a lot of it was the first purpose, and the most important purpose was the gold was recognizing him as what? A king. A king. And the anointing of that of the frankincense. Just imagine when Simeon and Anna saw him, and they had prophesied about that. And Simeon, remember we heard that and saw that in the video, to where God was going to keep him alive until he saw the one coming to rescue the people. And so anyway, finally Simeon finds them as they're there in Bethlehem, and then Anna comes and prophesies, and all Anna the prophetess, speaking over what she had seen and that and foretold. And I could imagine the parents, if somebody's prophesied over your kids, the things they prophesied, it's like, what? What are you talking about? Especially, wasn't it Anna at the very end talking about that of the myrrh and all that to be the salt and the salve and the balming for when he dies? And so they were told a lot in that little bit of a couple of people prophesying or saying what God had showed them in their times with God. And I'm sure as a parent, they were probably somewhat perplexed, like, what? What is going on? But Joseph and Mary were very faithful. They continued on, I don't say blindly, but kind of blindly, just going with the flow of God. And I think that's what we've got to do too in our lives. We just have to not, well, maybe blindly. We're not blind because I have sight with him. But, you know, just go with the flow of God in your life, in these situations. And don't try to buck it. Don't try to change it. Don't try to adjust it. And the only way we're going to do that is if we have a close, true relationship with God that we have what? Trust with God. We have to trust God in daily living. I think as we get into 2022 and these years and all we've come out this past couple of years, how many here has your trust with God has built even more? Continue trusting God more for health, protection. If I get sick, Lord, heal me. You know, if I get a bill, take care of it for me. We were sharing a little bit also in the hours before this morning about, you know, boy, just like, you know, how I talked about where the government was on Jesus' shoulders and things of that nature. I said, what better time of the year, every December, we get a tax bill about the 20th, the 19th, the 21st. It's like, I got this thing on my thing now where I got like, you can know what's coming in your mail ahead of time that day and all that, which is kind of cool. But anyway, I even got to see it like that morning of before it got to my mailbox. It says, Tim, look what's coming. I opened it up, City of Janesville. Gee, what's that? Tax, tax, tax. Okay, Caesar. I mean, it just plays into it. Sometimes I almost have my own little Christmas story in my house when I get it going, what more? But I thought, how? It just kind of like, it's so apropos or whatever they call that. It's just so fitting. The season that we're in of the birth of Jesus and the government on his shoulders, and then we think of his death, and Caesar was this and that, and even, you know, they ask Jesus about as far as paying to the government, give unto Caesar what is due Caesar. Okay, I give unto Janesville what is due Janesville. I've learned not to cry about it. I've been at times where I go in when I could go in and pay my tax bill. I would say, please take this check. I need to get rid of some money. Yes, I have said that to these. How would you think that went over, Julie? I gave those ladies a smile at the counter because everybody else is going up there going, come on, it's that much, come on. I'm going to be a different person because I'm a different person because Christ is in me, and I better be different than Joe Schmo out on the street. And that's not just paying my taxes, but that's when I go to the store, when I do this, when I do that. I better show love, joy, peace, calmness to those around me. And I don't do it to dig into them. I'm smiling when I'm saying it, you know. I walk up there, here, please take it, please. Okay, stamps, you're paid. Why is that? God is my source. If I am not going to be able to pay it, he will make a way. If I can't pay it, he'll say, Tim, it's time to sell this and go here, go there. Get a motorhome and travel. I'll wipe that off the tape so Dean doesn't hear that. Honey, do I have a plan for you? let's take a drive. Honey, we've been here for 3 days driving. I know we got another 5 days. We're going. I would love to do that. But I think as we live our lives as Christians, as followers of God, of a Christ-centered life, that I've just learned to understand that the economy of the world goes up and it falls, and it goes up and it falls. You will live a less stressful life if you just stay connected to God. And when taxes go up, hey, Lord, it's coming due. Help us out, you know, and he helps us out. We know you got to be stewards of your money, stewards of your finances. Okay, I'm not saying live crazy and blow your money and go to Ho-Chunk and go, hey, you know, buy all kinds of lottery tickets, you know. No. You've got to be a good steward of your money. You've got to, God entrusts us. He entrusts us with so much. He entrusts us with so much. And so we just have to show him that I can be dependent upon, Lord, to take care of what you've given me and use my best judgment on how to take care of that, to this, to this, to that, and to be blessing to others, to help others, to sow out here, to sow out there. Whatever the case might be, but here again, it's getting to just like the wise men going to Jesus and all of this. We look at that birth and it seems so simple, and it was in a manger. It got to that point where we understand this king, this priest, came in such a lowly way that he came like a scrounger coming into this world. But look at the deity that he was. But it's so that we, in our world, can look to him and say, he came like that of man. He came sinless to take our sins from us. He led a sinless life, but he bore our sins upon him. But it was all for us. It was all for you, the birth of Jesus. We read the story, we read the shepherds, we read the wise men, we see all of this laid out, God's plan that was from the very get-go, from Genesis, this was going to take place. And I can't help but believe that if God had that all figured out in those centuries and centuries, even the 400 years between the Old Testament and the New, nobody heard from God in 400 years. Did that mean God was sleeping? That meant he was not doing his thing? It was all part of that of God. And I've got to look at that, and I've got to think of that, and I've got to keep that kind of front and center on my time with God to believe and to know my God will not leave me nor forsake me. He will make a way where there seems to be no way. He will make pathways in the desert. He will have streams in the desert for substance to keep me fluid, to be able to live. Whatever the cases are, we look at these things that God performed throughout the Old Testament, and it just gives us the hope and the belief and the trust that we can stand on these things even in 2021, 2022, when things go kind of crazy with whatever the case might be. Whatever it might be. And we've got to have that. I encourage you to have that. If you don't have it, I think most of you do, but if you don't have it, start gravitating more to God. Amen. Hook up to him. Listen to him. Talk to him. It doesn't have to be any grandiose type plan, but just build a relationship on a daily basis with God. I know a lot of people say, we need to have prayer. We need to do this. I'm going to tell you what, my friend. My daily walk is a time of prayer with God all the time. I don't need a set time set aside unless it's a time God has said, my people shall come and gather. We will do that. But if we can't live a walking life day in and day out of getting up and thanking him, walking to here, going there, paying my tax bill, thank you, Lord, you know, go lay my head at night. Thank you for a blessed day, Lord. I can't wait till tomorrow, Lord. It's constant conversation with God. That's your prayer. And being a child of God led by the Spirit will drop into my spirit names of people in this congregation, family members of the congregation, friends of those in the congregation that I've heard about situations. And guess what happens? 3 o'clock, I didn't have a thing come out to say pray for Bill. But guess what? All of a sudden, 3 o'clock, Tuesday, Bill. Okay, Lord, I don't have to get down in it. I say, Lord, I lift up Bill to you right now. And I know he's going through this because of past thoughts maybe or things that we've got information on. Or it may not be any of that. It's just like you brought him to my mind, my heart, my thought. Lord, I'm lifting up Bill to you right now, and whatever he needs, I trust you're there for him. Bless him, Lord. Protect him, Lord. Show him that you're there. Amen. Then I order a burger basket at Culver's, okay? Yeah, you want me to be honest? Yes. Yes, I didn't come out here to the church and come up through the altar to pray. This is, I'm pulling into Culver's. I got 3 cars ahead of me. I'm sitting at a railroad crossing. The train's going back and forth. Okay, that's good, Lord. What's that all about? It's time for you to sit here and talk to me, my son. Okay, Lord, what shall we say? Did I tell you I love you today, Lord? Maybe after I've told him that 3 or 4 times, all of a sudden the train changes the one direction. He goes all the way out and he goes, there's what the Lord wanted to hear me say. I love you, Lord. And he said, okay, I'll let the train go. You can go now. The Lord uses different things to get our attention. And I think as we get into our lives now, if we can look at any kind of situation that comes up that limits us or holds us back or ties us up, use that as a time of talking to God. Reminding yourself of who he is in your life. And reminding him that he came, not reminding him, but reminding yourself that as a babe in the manger, all of that came about on him. I pray, Lord, this year that coming up that we can have a sense of just peace. Even when all chaotic things happen, that we will be in peace. And God will take care of me. He'll take care of you. He'll take care of your family and your situations. Amen. What's Christmas all about? Christmas will always be for us a time to reflect on Christ. The gift God gave to all the world was the gift of his life. We know Christmas is not about the tinsel, nor the fancy Christmas wreaths, nor is it about all the decorations that adorns our Christmas trees. And it's not about holly or mistletoe hanging from our doors. It's not about the gifts that are left by the jolly Saint Santa Claus. Christmas is more than all of this, and the only reason why we celebrate Christ's birth together and the wonder of his life. So remember as you celebrate just what it's all about, and invite the Lord to join with you instead of leaving him out. For he will always be the reason we celebrate this day. No substitute the world may offer can take that meaning away. Amen. We know the world has tried many ways to try to disenfranchise and disconnect from the birth of Jesus and holiday and this whole thing. But they will not be able to erase it. They will not be able to erase the birth of Jesus. And it's interesting that we as a society, for all these decades and centuries and all, even those that, you know, maybe have no faith in that, they still celebrate with presents under the tree and the gifts that we give. And in some way, it's almost like that is a sidebar of they're kind of celebrating the birth of Jesus, even though they may not have him as their Lord and Savior even now. And so as we look at how man tries to take these things away, so many things in our churches that have fallen and coming down, I think a lot of this is all God's doing as far as really shaking the church. It's not the government shaking the church, it's God shaking the church, it's shaking his people, it's shaking individuals to let us know, to have an understanding, my son, of what this is all about. And always lean on me, he would say, to get you through all of these tumultuous times, if I said that right. And he will do that, amen. So as we end here today, what do the names teach us about that of Jesus? He's called the Way. In John 14:6, he's called the Truth as well there. He's called the Life. Remember, I'm the Way, the Truth, the Life. No one cometh unto God except through me. In John 10:11, he's called the Good Shepherd. John 1:7, the Light. Bread of Life in John 6:3. Emmanuel in Isaiah 7. Savior, 2 Peter 3. A wonderful counselor here again in Isaiah 9:6. A mighty God, Isaiah 9. Everlasting Father, Isaiah 9. It's all in 9:6. Prince of Peace, amen. He's called the Word in John 1:1. He's called the Resurrection in John 11:25. He's called Lord in Matthew 8. And in Mark 2, he's called the Son of Man. Wow. That little babe in the manger grew up, and at age, what, 30, 29, 30, he steps into the ministry that was prepared for him from the foundations of the time. And it was a short 3 years about what he did before he went to the cross, amen? But God can do a lot in 3 years. We might be looking at some of our instances saying, I don't know how this is going to work. I don't know, I don't know, I don't know. But God can say, you just follow me. And whatever I have for you to do here, it will accomplish it by the time it gets here. It could be 3 days, 3 weeks, 3 years. Ooh, I don't know. And so we look at that today. And we reflect upon the birth of Christ. And we thank you, God. Thank you, God, for that. And I want to now look at going for communion. And Dan, would you mind passing out the elements for that of communion? Thank you, Lord. As we prepare to go today, Lord, I pray that you would bless these wonderful people in the days ahead. You will meet their need, Lord. I pray that for strength and health, Lord, into their bodies, into their loved one bodies, Lord, as far as family members that might be sick, that, Lord, you hear our prayers. I know you hear our prayers. And we thank you for the healing that's coming, or the healing that has manifested. And as we go out, Lord, I pray that we show your light in this place of darkness that we live. And may we bring honor and glory to you, Lord, to build your kingdom even upon this earth. Thank you, Father. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.